I'll say good morning to each and every one of you here this morning, bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to welcome all the visitors who are with us here today. I trust you'll feel welcomed as we worship the Lord together. It is a good day to come together to serve the Lord. Appreciated the service so far and the Sunday school lesson, the songs and the scripture reading that Brother Jaden just had fits very well with the message that we have for this morning. Yeah, it's just also good to see the sun out. I said when we started praying there, or during sharing time, it was clouded all over. And when we got done praying, the sun was out and it was shining brightly. So it's a beautiful thing to see. It just brings some extra glow and warmth. But it is good to be here with you again today. We enjoyed our service at East Hanover last Sunday, but it's always, Lois was just saying this morning when we were getting ready to leave for church, there's just nothing like being at your home congregation. So it is good to be here and to worship the Lord together with you here today. Trust that as we go through the message today that the Lord will be honored and glorified and that we will continue to seek His will and His way for our lives, and we will want to glorify Him in everything we do. This morning for a message, I think the last time I preached, I shared a message on marriage, but the time before that, we were ending our Ten Commandments, and I said we were going to have one more message to kind of wrap up the series. And as we think of that, we want to look back over briefly over the commandments and then think about what God has for us today. So here in the opening, I want to just take time to read Exodus 20, most of the chapter there, just again how where God had given the commandments to Moses. Not going to make a whole lot of comments on a lot of that, but just again an overall picture and an overall view of what God said to Moses. Exodus 20, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 21. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to serve them, nor... Let me start verse 5 over again. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy sons, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservants, nor thy maidservants, nor thy cattle, nor thy strangers that are within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, or made it holy, or sanctified it. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your face, and that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Just kind of interesting there. I'll just briefly mention there toward the end and last couple verses how the verse 18 and how the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And just the power of God that was happening there, the things that were taking place as God was giving the Ten Commandments to Moses. And then Moses told them to fear not in verse 20, for God is come to prove you that his fear may be before your faces that ye sin not. So just a good reminder for us today as we think about life and are we fearing God? Are we being careful that we don't fall into sin? So I was reading through that and studying for the message here this morning. I guess there was a quote that I seen, and as I pondered on that and I thought about that, it said it like this. This gives us the Ten Commandments, or what I just read, gives us a picture of God's plan and design for life. And I thought about that, you know, God revealed his holiness, God revealed his character, God revealed what he wants for us in life. God showed us the plan of how he wants us to live. In the New Testament, we are called to be a living sacrifice. And Brother Jaden read that there, the first two verses, or he read there some in Romans 12. But the first two verses says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So we're supposed to die to ourselves, we're to give ourselves a living sacrifice. But then it says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. To be holy, we have to be free from sin. We have to be living lives that are honoring and pleasing to God. We have to have accepted Christ as our Savior and allowing his righteousness to continue to cover us and cleanse us. And because of that, that service that we are giving back to God is our reasonable service, or what is expected of us as Christians. Then verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're not to follow after the things of the world, but we're to be continue to follow after God and pattern our lives after God. So I was thinking about some of this too, quite a bit of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. A lot of that, if you read through the whole Sermon on the Mount, is Jesus explaining how we should live as Christians, how we should live as New Testament believers. Not all of it, but quite a bit of it was based off a teaching that could be go point back, or based off a teaching that is part of the Ten Commandments. Title of the message this morning is Keep Love First. So we want to look a little bit as what does God want for us as Christians today in light of all this. If you will turn with me at this time, the main text we'll be looking at is Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Before I read that, I'll just say just a little bit. If you look here previously, right before this, the Sadducees and the Pharisees were trying to tempt Jesus, or trying to trip him up. I won't take time to read all of that, but in verse 15, there were the Pharisees. And it says, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. They were referring to Jesus. They were trying to trap him, or how they might entangle him, or how they might point out something in his life. But then they figured out they couldn't do that. But then in verse 23, it says, and the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and ask him. They had a whole big dialogue there. But then down in verses 34 and 35, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, and that goes right into the text we'll be looking at today. But I want us to get just a glimpse of what was taking place right before this, where the Sadducees and the Pharisees were trying to trip Jesus up, or trying to make him seem like a false teacher or a false leader. But we see that they were not being successful in what they did. In verse 18, Jesus had some very harsh words for the Pharisees even. And Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? He was basically telling them that they were not doing the will of God, that they were being workers of evil and workers of darkness. But yeah, going into our text then, Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Again, the question that the lawyer asked him, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commands hang all the law and the prophets. Part one we want to look at is loving the Lord. We see here that the first four commands are connected with this one. The first four commands, in short, as we often think of them, is thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain, and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know, I had to think here, sometimes Jesus was very short and to the point on what he was telling them here. And sometimes if we have somebody that we're talking to and are kind of giving a long, drawn-out explanation of things, you know, sometimes we're, you know, the thoughts come to our mind, well, just get to the point or just get straight to the point. That's pretty much what Jesus is doing here. He's getting straight to the point. He's pretty much tying up in a nutshell of what is the important things of life. And thinking about loving the Lord, thinking about serving Him, just a couple verses of how we can do that, of how we can keep God first in our lives. We know the psalmist David. I often like to read through the book of, or I say through the book of Psalms, not really through it, but different parts, different chapters of the book of Psalms. And very, very interesting in David's life, where it just seems to be kind of a theme over and over again, where he's kind of facing something where he's kind of afraid or facing something where he's kind of fearful, but yet he just keeps coming back over and over and over again. Maybe when I say facing something that's fearful, maybe it's because of some battle they're going through, or maybe it's because of somebody that's trying to tear him down or trying to do something to him or harm him or in some situations kill him. But in other, many times he just, or all the time, he just keeps coming back and resting in the goodness and the grace of God and his mercy. Yeah, just a verse or two from Psalm 119, verse 11. It's in the psalmist David, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So we see that David was a man of the word. David was a man that was following hard after God. Another one, Psalm 1:2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He continues to follow and look to the word of God. And then another verse, thinking of loving the Lord there in verse 37, loving the Lord with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. John 14:15, and this is Jesus' words, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. As I was thinking about some of this a little bit more, you know, tying this all together and what God is asking of us, what God is wanting from us, what God maybe even I can almost say expects from us as Christians, as, you know, not that we're forced to do it, but what God wants to see from us. Because God loves us so much, we should have a desire to love Him in return. And as our love for God grows more and more, and His presence in our lives grows more, our reflections should become more and more like Him. Verse 37 basically is telling us to love the Lord our God with everything within us. Thinking about some of that, what comes from out of your life, out of your actions, begins in your heart and your mind. What we allow into our lives through our heart and our mind many times will be what we dwell on and will be what others see in us. Back in Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says it like this: Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In other words, guard what is going into your life. Guard what is going into your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. For what is coming, for what you're allowing into your lives, and what is coming from with your heart, is what is coming from within your heart. What we allow into our lives through what we hear and what we see will have a huge effect on the rest of what we do. Philippians 4, verse 14 gives us a picture of what we should be thinking about and dwelling on. I'm sorry, Philippians 4, verse 8. I think I said verse 15. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, I had to think a little bit, if we would make that a motto for our lives and base most of what we do or all of what we do in life on just that verse alone, I think a lot of things in life would go a lot smoother for a lot of people. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think or dwell on these things. What are we filling our minds with? You know, in this day and age, you don't have to look very far to start being fearful if you take your focus off the Lord. You know, you read the stories that come out every day on the media, and if you start clicking on one, you start getting all kinds of other suggestions that just feed that fear. But God has not called us to be a people of fear. God has called us to be a people of trust and to honor Him. So what are we filling our minds with? What are we allowing to come into our lives? Going back again to our text, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, it says this is the first and greatest commandment in verse 38. In other words, there is nothing that you can do that is greater than this. This is the supreme part of the commandments. Then part two we want to look at is loving our neighbor. A number of weeks ago, we looked at who our neighbor is. I won't take time to go over a lot of this, but if you go back to Luke chapter 10, where the parable or the account of the Good Samaritan is, and right before Jesus gave that whole story of the Good Samaritan, there was a lawyer again that was tempting him, saying, "Master, what can I do to eternal life?" And Jesus said, "It was written in the law, how readest thou?" And he went on to say, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with your mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And then Jesus said unto him, "You have answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." But then the lawyer asked him, trying to justify himself, he said, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And then he went into the host, or Jesus gave the account, or the parable there of the Good Samaritan, saying to bring out the thought of who our neighbor is. Basically, it's anybody that we come in contact with is considered to be our neighbor. So we see here, and then in the next part of our text here, verse 39, "And second is like unto it." What is that really saying in that phrase? In other words, second is like unto it. The second one is no less important than the first one. And then he says what that is, to love thy neighbor as thyself. So we see that this command is just important as the one that he gave before, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, and with all our soul, and all our mind. Basically saying you can't have one without the other. You can't separate them. They are both one and of the same. If you love the Lord, you will have a love for your neighbors and everyone around you. Jesus was basically pointing out that if we really love God, and if we are really following Him, and if we are allowing God's love and His grace to flow in us and through us, we will have a love for the people around us. The last six of the Ten Commandments fall under this one, which is honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Couple verses thinking about some of this, about loving our neighbor. Again, that verse in John 14, verse 15, where it says, "If you love me," Jesus' own words, "if you love me, you will keep my commandments." In other words, if you truly love me, you will do as I say, or as we have asked, or as we have said. A couple more verses thinking about loving your neighbor, back in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, and if you have time, you can read this entire chapter sometime. It gives us a lot in here to think about and ponder on. But in verses 3 through 6 in 1 John 2, it says, "And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." Very straight and to the point. That's how we can tell if we are a Christian, if we are living the way God wants us to be, if we are endeavoring, if we are doing His commandments or keeping His commandments. Then it goes into verse 4, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not him in him. But whosoever keepeth his words in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked." Very good verses there, and we could take a lot of time to look at some of them or explain some of them, but I don't think they need a lot of explanation. Very pretty much straight and to the point. If we love God, we will do His word and keep His commands. And then in Romans, there's many, many verses we could look at thinking of some of this, but in Romans 13, verses 8 through 10, it says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." Verse 40 there in our text says, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Basically, on these two commandments, all of the law and all of the prophets will be fulfilled if we do these two commandments. Another verse in Matthew 7, verse 12, says, "Therefore," thinking of that same thought, "therefore, all things whatsoever ye would do that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." This kind of was where the motto come from that we often say, and probably many of us have hanging in our homes somewhere, or if we don't have them hanging in our homes, we teach our children to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men would do to you, do ye even to them also, for this is the law and the prophets." It's a couple things to think about. Are we keeping love first? Do we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind? Do we love our neighbor as ourselves? You know, I thought about this a little bit, and I sometimes wonder, if we don't love our neighbors, do we truly care about ourselves? Because it says to love your neighbor as yourself. Most people try to take care of their own self, try to do the best you can, eat right, get enough sleep, look in the mirror before you come to church. Are you presentable? you don't just jump out of bed and come as you are. You want to look nice when you're presenting yourself to others. But here it is saying, are we doing that? Are we loving our neighbor? Are we taking care of our neighbor and loving our neighbor as we do ourselves? Is there evidence in our lives that point to that? Another thought that came to my mind, God didn't give us the commands to make our lives hard. You know, some people, sometimes you get the thought, it's almost too hard to do all of that. But no, God gave us His commands because He loves us. And He wants us to do what is pleasing in His sight. You know, I had to think a little bit how Adam and Eve sinned, and the relationship with God was broken through that, and how Jesus came as the Savior and provided, again, a right way for us to have a good and right relationship with our Father God. And through that, and because of what He did for us and His love, and we have accepted that love, and through that, are we willing to give of ourselves in love and service for Him because of His love for us? God created each one of us, and His desire is for us to live rightly. And His ultimate desire is for us to be in heaven with Him someday. A couple verses, 1 John 5, verse 2 and 3. Says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commands, and His commands are grievous." I thought I had wrote that verse down too, where it talks about God saying, or Jesus saying, that it's not God's desire that any should be lost, but come to the knowledge and saving grace. So it is really His desire for all of us to be in heaven with Him someday. Another little quote here in closing said, "Four ways to express your love for God. First one was very simple, keep His commandments. The second one was tied to that, but walk in all of His ways. Cleave to Him. The third one is cleave to Him. In other words, focus on Him, cleave to Him, cling to Him. And the last is serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. Are we willing to be a people that are obedient to the word of God? Are we willing to be obedient to be a people that are wanting to do what is right and endeavoring to please God in everything we do? And we know that outside of heaven, none of us will ever be perfect. We all know that. All of us make mistakes on a normal basis, probably some of us even at times on a daily basis. There's things we have to say we're sorry for. And that's okay, as long as our heart's desire is intent on serving the Lord, and as long as our heart's desire is seeking repentance and forgiveness. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I'll just read through the Ten Commandments again in closing. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God has to have first place in our lives. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. We can't have anything that we are worshiping outside of God or looking to outside of God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. This is one that fails tremendously in America today. You don't have to go very far at all, and you hear people over and over taking the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Take a time to rest and to worship God. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Those thoughts in mind, let us bow our heads for prayer.